turn to Matthew's Gospel, if you will, please. And chapter... Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Chapter 24. And then we're going to move to chapter 25, reading from verse 1. But chapter 24, reading from verse 3. Now, the title of my sermon is A Word to the Wise. A Word to the Wise. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Say that word with me today, slumbered. Just don't slumber for the rest of the service. "They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him in the wedding door, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is returning.'" Now, all of this, all these chapters from what I read, 23, 24, 25, all are the spoken in the last week of the Lord Jesus' life before the cross. And he is speaking here in 24 on the Olivet disclosure, the Mount of Olives. He's speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them of terrible times to come, and we're, I believe, probably be seeing the birth pains of that right now, where nations will rise up against nations and the love of many will wax cold. And he goes on to say some really other terrible things are going to happen. But he said not to be troubled, that these things have to come. These things have to happen. He's already warned us. He's already tipped his hand to show you that when these things happen, you have to look up, because your salvation draws nigh. God is in control. And you know, the great test for you and I is to believe that in the midst of trial and trouble, because Jesus said you will have, in the world you will have trouble, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But these are very, very important words of Jesus. And for me, you know, I always, everyone delves into, you know, the eschatological view of the Olivet disclosure. Everyone wants to find out the day, what's going to happen, who is the beast, what is the tribulation, when do we start? And, you know, the only thing I'm going to say about that this morning, not to disappoint you, that when the true time comes, we will all have the right eschatology. Amen. There will be a convergence upon the truth here. Let me tell you, there will be a unity in the church. But until then, friends, we can take the wider scope of what Christ is saying. And I believe these things are written for our hope and our consolation. In actual fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans 15 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." These are written to give us hope. He says in verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hope in the gospel. And yet then we come to this incredible parable of Jesus in Matthew 25. And it's as traditionally we would have looked at this. Jesus is talking about some terrible things, and then to make things worse, he is now making us feel very uneasy about ourselves. That's how some would have to look about this. Some would look at the scripture and be very fretful that, oh, we need to make sure that we have oil in the lamp. Well, that's at least how I would have always interpreted. But the Holy Spirit showed me something, that these are written for our comfort. There is a comfort in God. There is a hope in God for the church. And there is hope for a God, for a church that's in slumber. So the story starts off, the parable starts off with two groups of people. Now always be careful when you read two groups of people in the scriptures. They're always talking about two covenants. Old covenant and a new covenant. And Jesus is talking about five wise and five foolish. Now, he is recapping, of course, his previous conversation from Matthew chapter 4, 5, and 6, where you have the Mount of Olives, that great preaching of Jesus and the Beatitudes. I've been in both locations in Israel. I've both been to the Mount of Olives near the Galilee, that great slope that held 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. And Jesus began to teach the Beatitudes and many things of the kingdom. And I've been to the Mount of Olives, where this is written from, where Jesus had spoken directly to his disciples about the end of the age and about the times that are coming. And if you go to the first chapters of Matthew, where he's speaking at by the Galilee, he is beginning to console who the wise are. You know, we always wonder, who are the wise and who are the foolish? Well, Jesus tells us, if you turn in your Bible back to Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Therefore," verse 24, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell with a great fall." And Jesus is consoling. He's beginning to talk to his disciples in a time of the end, when the end is drawn near, when there is so much difficulty in the world around us. He is saying, "Remember what I taught you back in the Galilee. Remember I told you about those who built their house upon the rock. That's me. They're the wise." And it's really like God is saying, there's two groups of people in this world today. There's those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus. Those are the wise ones. They're already indemnified by the scripture. They have the light of God. And I want to tell you today that the enemy will try to rob you of this truth. You see, when the times become uncertain around us, and when the world around us is on meltdown, and the global situation is absolutely very dreadful, friends, there is no natural way forward. Governments are falling. Governments are clamoring to try to secure us. Fiscal policies are failing. The families are falling apart. Communities are in dire straits, friends. I'm telling you, in the midst of all this, the last thing Jesus wanted to do is to sow some unbelief or fear into your heart. He was trying to say, you know, when this thing happens, you may even be slumbering. But you are the wise ones that have built your house upon the rock. Your light will never go out. This is what he's saying, friends. I beg you to look at the scripture again. We need to hear a word of hope in the hour that we're living in. And this is what Jesus was putting into his disciples and into us. He said, "The wise are those who built their house upon the rock. You have the light of the Lord. You are the light of the world." That's what Jesus said. But the foolish, but those, of course, there's two groups of people. The foolish are those who built their house upon the Torah, or the rules, or the commandments. He's speaking to Israel. And that's what he begins to say. You know, the law had a glory, and that glory was fastly fading in the light of his coming. The works of the law shall no, by the works of the law shall no man be justified. These are the consolations of God today. We are those who know that the commandments were given to us to bring about a death in us so that the light of God can come into our lives. We are the true disciples of Jesus Christ that humble ourselves before the work of Him and Him only. Bow the knee and say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to His cross, thy cross I cling. And from that place, Jesus is saying, I want to tell you, in the end days, there's going to be a bunch of people. Some are going to build their house upon me. They're the wise ones. Their light will never go out. They may even slumber. But thanks be to God, He that keeps Israel doesn't slumber. You and I are going to make it to heaven, friends. You might be here slumbering. You might be in a sleep. You might be in a soul sleep. Your wick might be burning dim, but I want to tell you, friends, a smoldering flax He will not extinguish. I want you to hear hope today. I want you to take something in your heart. When Jesus is consoling, He's saying the foolish are the ones that build their lives upon their own good deeds, their own good works, upon the laws and the Torah of God. Let me tell you, friends, that ain't nothing compared to what Jesus did for you. They all slumbered, verse 4, and they slept. I believe, as Paul says, that these things are written for our comfort. Jesus didn't talk in the midst of the Olivet disclosure about all these calamities to sow some sense of fear into the heart of the Christian. I grew up all my life fearing this very, very parable, thinking that somehow I may not have oil in my lamp. I don't know if I'm the only one in town. Give me oil in my lamp. Give me oil in my lamp. I understand where it's coming from, but I want to tell you, friends, He's already given you oil. It's called the Holy Spirit. He has sealed you for the day of redemption. And you know what? What He's trying to tell His disciples is that those other Jews around you, those other unbelievers that have attached themselves to the works of the law, they will be shut out. I will never know. I've never known you. You've never come unto me. You've never yielded to me. You've never laid down your own abilities and your own strengths and taken up my grace. It's amazing, isn't it? How the pride of the human heart always tries to cling onto its own works before God. You know, Isaiah chapter 50, 49, it talks about building your own sparks, lighting your own fire, living by your own strength. But you know, when we come to Matthew 25, we begin to see even a church at a time that's slumbering, even in the time of darkness, there is a promise that is spoken over the people of God. And the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. When we look out around us, friends, and see the uncertainty, we must understand that God is writing to us, speaking to us, words of comfort, words of consolation, words that are saying that even, you know, when we can sit back and we can say the church is this and the church is that, I want to tell you the church is still the light of the world. It doesn't matter, friends. It doesn't matter how dark the hour is, God is going to revive His church. This is the hope of the gospel. He is not coming back for a broken down church, friends. He is coming back for a bride that is made perfect, without blemish, without spot, and without wrinkle. And if you take your eyes off all the elements and put your eyes upon Jesus when He is consoling you, that you are the light of the world, that your light won't go out in the light of His coming, friends. When you begin to rise up in faith and put your confidence in His word. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah today. Five wise who build their house upon the rock. That's the church. Oh, friends, that light will never go out. Five foolish that built their lives upon their works and upon their own efforts or by adherence to laws and rules and regulations. There was a glory. Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said the glory of the law was fastly fading, friends, where men could make their boast upon what they could do for God and what they have done for God and how good we are and how strong we are. I want to tell you that young men will utterly faint because that will run out in time. It is nothing but the grace of God, nothing but the love of God, nothing but the promises of God, nothing but the faithfulness faithfulness of God will comfort us and lead us and protect us and bring us to a righteous end. You and I have promises spoken over us. There's a better word. We sang it today. Your word, your blood speaks a better word. I think of so many areas in scriptures and so many parallels, but one comes to mind, the story of Ruth. This incredible story about this family, Elimelech and his wife, and two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And you know, the Jews, their promises was attached to a homeland. If they stayed in that place, God in his promises, you come to this land, I will bless you, I will be your God, I will provide for you. But there was a famine. But rather than standing on the word of God, they're a picture of a type of a church in the end times that, you know, rather than staying attached to the promises of God, they go to the world for some wisdom. They take that journey to Moab and they join the Moab Metropolitan Tabernacle. They take on a worldly view of how to manifest God and get church growth, even though the times are dark and the hour is late. And it seems to have success. They doubled the numbers. The church grew. It's like the church in the end times, friends, when there's that slumber comes upon her and her discernment tends to leave her. And they go off on a journey that is not the will of the Lord. But thanks be to God, he is behind us and in front of us. Amen. Where can I leave or where can I flee the presence of God? Friends, God loves his church. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you so much that he won't let you where you are. He will bring you to where he is. And we see that picture of that church going into Moab, going into the worldly thinking, you know, for a while having a limited success. But then somewhere along that journey, debt begins to hit her. And Naomi comes back and she is now depleted. Her sons are dead. Her husband is dead. And all she has was this one young convert. Oh, what a pathetic looking church that is. What a pathetic church in decline. You hear it all over the media. Oh, the church in America went from 60% down to 31%. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, what a pathetic figure you are. Let me tell you, friends, the church is still the light of the world. The church is still the only hope for society. And now, even though Naomi and her church plant and her testimony burned dim, friends, it was nearly gone. The light was nearly gone. There was still enough light in it to attract a beautiful young Moabite girl called Ruth. Hallelujah. There's still enough of the DNA of Christ in his church, friends, to bring about revival. I want to tell you, this is going to be the greatest rising from the ashes of unbelief and despair and fear you're ever going to see. The world is falling apart, but God says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have endured 2,000 years plus of despotic governments, false sciences, false philosophies, aggression, and men and women that set their face against God. But I want to tell you, the church triumphs because Jesus is Lord of his church. Hallelujah. And I see that young church coming back to the true promises of God. They came back to Bethlehem because they heard there was bread in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, there is hope for us. Amen. There is hope for the body of Christ. Don't be castigating her. Don't put her down. Begin to believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Begin to believe that even when the church slumbers, he that keeps Israel doesn't slumber nor sleep. Not even for a second, friends. He is working all things out to his counsel. Thanks be to God today that salvation is of the Lord and not of you and I. Amen. Thanks be to God that salvation belongs to the Lord. He planned it from beginning. Before time began, he covenanted with his own son. He said, Jesus, I want you to create this world. But before you create it, I want to tell you, they're going to run around behind your back, stab you in the back, end up in prison. And you're going to have to buy them back. And he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. And we begin to see that they come back to the promises of God, because Paul tells us that the promises of God are yea in amen in Christ Jesus. And that small, pathetic looking witness, that lamp that is burning dim in that church, she begins to go out with the little light that she has and glean the fields. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. She begins to go out and reach out for those other weak ones around us. When the world is saying, this is pathetic, you're coming back and you're broken, you don't have any testimony, I want to tell and the testimony is this, that Christ has given me an overcoming spirit. We have been sealed with the Spirit of God. We have been delivered and set free. And when men and women come back to that truth, faith rises in their heart. And with faith, friends, all things are possible. I love that story, because it's more of a picture of a prodigal church. And a church that went into slumber, went into the world, but did its full circle. Never write the body of Christ off. Never do it. Put your hand over your mouth. Don't bring charge against God's elect. And here Jesus is beginning to tell in this wonderful, wonderful parable that they all slumbered, but they're still built upon Christ. They're still built upon the rock. The light of God is still there. The DNA in heaven is in her. There is enough light to bring about one last revival. Hallelujah. He will do it, friends. He will do it again. In the end days, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You better start getting ready. You better say to the Lord this morning, Lord, increase my capacity to believe you for a mighty outpouring. Because, friends, without faith in the word of God, friends, we could very easily see a flatlining of our nations. But I believe God is calling men and women again to see that his hand and his design and his kindness is towards his church. They fell asleep. They slumbered. But that beautiful testimony of that young Jewish girl comes right back, friends, to gleaning the fields. I don't know about you, but I believe that this is going to be a time for the greatest revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe God is going to give us a revelation of his covenant and his mercy. I tell you, friends, scriptures that we've read and we cause unbelief and fear. I read Matthew 25 many times and thinking, oh my God, this is a meltdown moment and more than likely we won't have enough oil. And God is saying to us, oh, you have the oil, all right. I've given you the Holy Spirit. You may be slumbering, you may be sleeping, but I will revive you. You and I make it to heaven because of his faithfulness, friends. God forbid it's up to you. God forbid it's up to me. We have a promise that's spoken over. Jesus is whispering to his disciples, all these things are going to happen. There is going to be those who are going to go a wrong way because they're relying upon their own flesh and their own strength and their own performances. But we are not that sort of people. We rely upon the work of another. And to see Ruth coming back, and seeing her coming in, and from her gleaning in the fields, she comes into the greatest revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is what awaits the church of the Lord God. I want to tell you, friends, there's going to come a time, and that time is very soon, where it won't be just about the hearing of the ear, but it will be the seeing of the eye. We will understand, no man will say to his fellow, know the Lord, for they will all know him from the least to the greatest. Hallelujah. That's the time that's promised to you and me. In this time of apocalyptic meltdown, God is consoling. You are built upon a very, very, very strong rock. You are wise. A word to the wise this morning, stop doubting him. Oh God, I have failed you. That's okay, but I won't fail you. You've always failed me, but I have always covered it with my blood. I speak a better word over you. These things must happen, church. We must pass through these trials. The end is going to come near. But you're built upon the rock and your light will not be extinguished. Your lamp will burn bright for him. I just think the word of the Lord is so consoling. In Job chapter 14, he says, verse 7, he says, for there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and that its tender roots will not cease. Listen to this. It says, though its root may grow old in the earth and the stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud. Hallelujah. And bring forth branches like a plant. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friends, Jesus is saying that light might be very dim, but you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. I will revive you. Even if you're cut down to the stump. And I know what it's like to be cut down to the stump. I know what it's like, friends, to be knocked down and kicked down and have to get up time after time. But it says that even the scent of water. Now, water is the Holy Spirit. We know that, right? We know that all we need is a touch of the Holy Spirit. That's all. All we need is Him to breathe again. Just those water molecules of the Spirit of God to revive that sleeping church, that slumbering church. That is the light of the world. Oh, God, give us the faith. Give us the hope of the gospel. When you read your Bible tonight, I'm sure many of you are going to go back to Matthew 25 and say, I never saw that before. I want to tell you, there's no other explanation. Five old covenant, five new covenant. I'm speaking consolation and hope to the new covenant. I'm speaking consolation and hope to those who build their house upon the rock. You are the wise ones. Jesus is giving you a confidence to stand. You say, Lord, I've slumbered. It doesn't matter about slumbering. I will keep you, amen. I will wake you up. You are mine. You are bought with my precious blood, not with the perishable things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And though you feel cut to the floor, though you feel abandoned, I want to tell you, I will never leave you. Never forsake you. Far from being a parable to keep you on your toes, it is a parable to encourage you in your faith. Far from being a parable to make you feel uneasy in a time of great distress, it is a parable to encourage you with confidence that the light of God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to bring the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And He says, we have this treasure in the earthen vessel. I want to tell you what is going to happen. The earthen vessel is going to crack and break so that the light of God will shine out of her. That's what's happening. No man takes the light and puts it under a bushel. Jesus won't allow it. He'll break that vessel, friends, so that the light of God will shine out again. Hallelujah. He'll strip away the materialism. He'll strip away the apathy. He will break the hard shell because He put a light inside you called the Holy Spirit of God that sealed us for the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Forgive me for getting excited. I have shaken the hands of presidents. Not many of them are own one or Irish one. I have met actors. I've met rich people. I've met different people all over society with their false ideas. Some of them are the most wretched people that walked upon the face of this earth. This is where our hope comes from, friends. Our hope comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. A bruised reed, He will not break. As smoldering flax, He will not extinguish. And don't let the enemy whisper in your ear and say that you, it's too late for you. You've slumbered one time too many. They all slumbered. I want to thank God this morning. There is a rest in the new covenant. There's times I just haven't got the strength to do anything, friends. I have to be carried. I don't know about you, but young men will faint. You can sing, but sometimes you just don't want to sing. Sometimes you don't want to pray. Sometimes you don't want to read. You just have nothing in you. But then something from heaven begins to touch your heart again. Hallelujah. Just the very scent of water. Something begins to revive you again. And I just love, I hear this parable a different way now. I hear all the Olivet disclosure. I hear nation against nation. I hear people turning and getting cold and families against families. But I hear the words of Jesus Christ say to me, your light will never go out. Hallelujah. Because you have built your life upon me. And when the time test comes, I will be there for you. I will revive you. I will strengthen you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, a mother hen may forget her chicks. You know, there's some great stories about hens. I'm not one of these country boys, but they tell me sometimes in these barn fires that the whole barn can burn down and they find the old dead mama chick. The mama chicken with all these eggs under her. She won't abandon them. Burned in that barn, but she never left those children. I want to tell you, friends, do you think for one second that God is returning against His church? The church that He paid His precious blood for. He sent the Holy Spirit of God into your life. Do you see, friends, when we attempt to live by the old covenant, the law of works, we are choosing to live by man's sufficiency. This only produces a fading glory. But when we live by heaven's rule, when we receive the divine help as helpless babies, saying, oh God, I have nothing to give you but an empty possibility. And oh God, I just coming to him and kneeling and bending and penitent before him. That is when he begins to infuse hope again to the church. I want to encourage Times Square Church, every church that might listen to this message, wherever you are, your light will shine again. Hallelujah. Not only will it shine, friends, it will shine brighter than ever before. Not a time for us to be looking at the wind and the rain, because the Bible says he who regards the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the rain will not reap. It's a time for us to believe the gospel. And so in the beautiful words of our Lord and Savior, he said, let your light so shine before men. And in this perilous time, let them see our good deeds and bring glory to the Father which is in heaven. And though the storms are upon us and coming in greater measure, you and I are left in this storm to show men and women a better way. Follow me as I follow Christ. This is the way through. Listen to my voice, whoever you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a storm of storms. Maybe you don't know the Lord in a life-changing way and there is no light in you. But I want to tell you, God wants to change that. God wants to put his light and his life and his confidence in you. There is many, many more dangerous and deep days ahead of us, friends. But we are having a promise from heaven that the abiding word of God that dwells inside us will never forsake us and never abandon us. Lift up your heads, all you gates. Let the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Hallelujah. We know who he is. More importantly, he knows who we are. Hallelujah. See, friends, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. There is hope. What more can you say? There is hope. There is hope for America. Come on, you need to rise up in faith. There is hope for America. And it's not coming from the White House. And it's not coming from Capitol Hill. See, I know a bit about your politics. And it's not coming from the Senate. Our hope comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope, friends. And Jesus spoke hope into the hearts of his disciples, and he speaks hope into our hearts this morning, that when these times come upon you, and when everything seems to be going awry, and when he comes back, I want to tell you right now, your lamp will be burning. It will be burning brighter, more beautiful, more powerful than ever before. Why? Because God commanded it. God commanded the light to shine, out of darkness to shine in our hearts. And you are the light of the world. You are the city still on a hill. And God is clearing some of the rubbish out of the way, friends. He is breaking the earthen vessel. And some of the light is beginning to shine. That's what I've seen happen in the church today. I see a consolation from heaven. I see a breaking away of all that stupidity and imagery and materialism and all that nonsense that many have tried to build semi-little structures on. And God is saying, this only one thing matters. Oh, wise church, you did well by building upon Jesus. You did the right thing when you gave him your life. You didn't do the wrong thing. You got it 100% right. And even now, you might be fatigued a little bit. You might be a little bit slumbery. But he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the Olivet Discourse, the end of the age. Friends, what can we say about the world we live in today? What can we say about the state of our politics? Absolutely nothing. We don't make political statements. We say one name, Christ Jesus, and him crucified. foolishness to the Greeks, friends. Foolishness to this world's mind. But to those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Make him known. Stand on your feet. Let your light shine. You know, I want to close this morning because I feel in my heart that there's many of you that have been so fearful about your standing before God, that you're fearful, your eyes are on the storms, and your eyes are on the failures of men and systems, and you're no idiot, you're well able to read the signs around you, times are very difficult. But I pray by the Spirit of God that some hope will rise in your heart this morning and say, you know what? I am built upon the rock. I am the wise one. I am the one whose light will not go out. It will not be extinguished at his coming, friends. It will shine brighter than before. But maybe you're here this morning and you are putting your trust in yourself. Maybe you've never turned your life over to Christ. I want to warn you. You ain't seen nothing yet with world turbulence. We're only starting the days of sorrows, friends. Woe to the man who's on his own in that time. The man that has no light but tries to make his own light through his own actions, his own determinations, his own works, his own righteousness. You need to give your life to Christ this morning. You need to get on board, friends. You need to get that light of the gospel fused into your spirit. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me this morning right across the house, because we're going to pray for two different groups of people today. There's an altar that I believe God wants you to come to, because we are living in a time, my brothers and sisters, that we need the Holy Spirit again to breathe life upon some of the dead bones. Amen. And some of you here have been dormant for many times, slumbering for a long time, but God has brought you here this morning. Hallelujah. Because he is going to do something miraculous in your life again. I want to believe with you. I want you to come to an altar today if you say, God, I want to be touched again in my spirit. I want to be revived. I want to stand again in the confidence of knowing that what you started years ago in my life, you have promised to complete. Amen. So you're welcome to come to an altar. We're going to pray the very presence of the Holy Spirit to come and bring transformation to your life. Praise God. We're going to pray then for the church. Not just Times Square Church. We are going to pray for the body of Christ, that confidence will come upon her. We're going to pray that there will be a putting away of the pointing of the finger. Can you say amen? Amen. We're going to put away a judgment towards the other church down the road and up the street and around the corner. We're going to stop talking about them as if they've lost their way. God knows exactly where they are. He's going to revive that church. Hallelujah. He's going to bring her back, friends. He's going to lift her up out of the ashes of defeat. Why? Because he is true and faithful. So we're going to worship for a moment. I'm going to invite you, if you're in the annex, you can come to us this morning here. Step out of your seats, folks. Let God do something very rich in your heart. Let him fill you with hope again. There is hope for a tree. Even if it gets cut down to the stump and the root die in the stalk, and even a scent of water, even just a scent of it, all we need is a touch of the Holy Ghost. All we need is a touch of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love, and I don't want to sound strange, but I love when the Bible calls us virgin, because there's something beautiful that's restored to us at the gospel. There's a purity that comes to us from heaven. The pureness of God's love shed abroad in our hearts. And that's what happened when we became Christians. We were sealed unto the day of salvation then, friends. And you know, if you can receive anything from this word this morning, receive hope that God is in control. He's in control of your life. He's never taken his hands off it. And these things have to happen. Time has to get wound up at some stage. There will be battles. There will be all these sort of things. There's going to be terrible things happen. But we don't put our eyes on those things. We put our eyes on the hope of the gospel. And you know, at the altar here today, we're going to pray that this hope will sink so deep into our hearts that we will leave here very transformed, very different, that we won't be leaving doubting the Lord, because we're terrible for doubting. Are you with me? Does he love me? Does he love me not? And we have to pass from that, because there are so many millions of people in New York City and around the world that need a church that has a confidence in their God. Amen. And you can't have confidence in God if you're constantly standing in this, I don't know if I have oil in my lamp. I tell you right now, if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The oil is there. The light of God has come. That's a settled issue. But what we want to do is move from our slumber. Amen. We want to rise up from the slumber. The slumber of sleep that would withhold the testimony of God to maybe people that are very precious to Him, that are around us, families and friends. That God would take and maybe crack that earthen vessel a little bit. It may take a relationship falling apart for you. It may have taken your commerce to fall through the floor. It may take the greatness of your nation, friends, just to fall down to be just another nation in the world. But your confidence is in Christ. Your hope is in the gospel now. Thanks be to God, there's nothing else to hold on to now, is there? We are without any more options, friends. The only hope, and it always was the only hope, is Him. So let's lift our hands at this altar to the Lord and ask God to remove the slumber. Right across the church, remove the slumber. The church that was slumbered has now risen from our knees, and dry bones are responding to the call of the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for every man, woman, boy and girl in this auditorium. Anyone that's tuning in, listening, Lord, the body of Christ throughout the world. We pray, Lord God, that You will waken her up from her slumber. And You will, Lord, pour fresh water upon her. That, Lord Jesus, that they may feel cut down and disappointed, Lord God. All it needs is a touch of the Holy Spirit and it will sprout again. And Father God, we stop looking at the storms because, Lord, You've warned us they're going to happen. That's going to happen. We choose to look to Your word and gain hope. There is hope for the church. And there's hope for my life. And there's hope for people to regain lost testimony here today. Some of you say, I can never open my mouth again. I failed Him so badly. I've been such a secret Christian and hidden my life under the bushel. I want to tell you, God is merciful. You're here today because He is merciful. And you're here today because He's renewing you. He's reviving you. Hallelujah. Now thank Him where you are. Say, thank You for waking me up, Lord. Thank You for lifting my eyes to heaven today. Just thank Him and praise Him. Thank Him for the church now, the body of Jesus. There is enough DNA of heaven in the church of Jesus Christ to bring about a last day revival. Now, friends, I was in Geneva just last weekend preaching, and I was in the United Nations there, and they brought me on a tour. And basically, what they told me was this: give us more money and more power, and we'll make the world a better place. And I think, my, talking about living under law and living under what you can do. And I said, oh, no, friends, there'll never be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. There'll never be any change until the church wakes from her slumber and trims her lamp. Jesus is coming back. And He's going to come back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. It gives me a lot of hope because I'm telling you, friends, I look at my own performance at times and it can be quite abysmal. Anybody else like that here? But I'm going to get there because of His faithfulness. You're going to get there because of His faithfulness. Now, Father, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. Father, we first of all, we repent of our pointing of the finger, Lord, and the wagging of the tongue, Lord. Lord, there is things that we disagree with, Lord God. There is things that, Lord, we have a controversy with. But, Lord, we will never rob the truth, Lord, that there is enough of Your presence there, Lord, to revive and bring in, Lord God, new converts and a new revelation of who You are, fresh revelation. So we pray, Lord God, from the church from South Sudan all the way, Lord, to East Coast America, Lord, West Coast America, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for, Lord, the ones that are burning dim, that, Lord God, they've gone like Naomi and her husband did. They went to Moab and tried to learn the tricks of the world, but that has left them very broken as churches and very broken as Christians and very shipwrecked. Bring them back to the house of bread, Father. Bring them back to the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, because we know that's the only hope for the world is Your church. So, Father, we pray that light will shine brighter today, Lord. That, Lord, that we will leave Times Square Church this morning and we will go onto the streets of Manhattan, and, Lord, wherever we sit to eat our food, we will bow our head and pray. And men and women will see our worship and everything that we do and how we behave. That, Lord, we will walk circumspect, Lord, ready that our tongues will become the pen of a ready writer, oh God. And what the Spirit gives me, I'll say, Lord. So, Father, I pray now just for this body here, Lord, that there will be a unity in Times Square Church. We pray, Lord God, that we will stand with and for one another in Jesus' name, that we will love the bride of Christ, and that we will console ourselves, that we are the wise ones that have built their house upon the rock. And when the storms come, not if they come, when they come, we will stand and we will remain because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray one last prayer, Lord, for those who may be at this altar that don't know you or in this church this morning. And they've never given their heart to you, Lord. They've, in their mind, maybe they have made some sort of transaction, but they never really did, Lord. They never surrendered. They're outside, Lord God. They're living in darkness and they know it, Lord. They've lived there long enough to know what darkness is. They could write a book about darkness. And so endungeoned by their own sin and others. But I pray now, Lord, that your light will diffuse a quickening ray. And that they will wake from that dungeon flaming, as the hymn writer said, with light. Throw off their chains now, Lord God. I want you to pray this prayer with me if you are here today and you have never given your heart to the Lord. I want you to pray this prayer. Because God will hear this prayer if you mean it from your heart. And he will send the light of the Holy Spirit into your life. And when that light comes, friends, everything changes. Everything changes. Dear Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. I've been in a lot of darkness. My light went out a long time ago. But now I pray you send your light into my life. I seek to follow you and live for you. Forgive my sins. Wash me clean. Come in and live in here forever. Transform me by your power. I pray for this. In Jesus' name, amen.